All right, let's start over. No. Take it from the top. Sermon, take two. No. There's something about the bond between parents and children. I mean, there really is that, you know, it's that in Greek they have, we're not going to go through all the different names that they have for love, but there is a word for that love between parent and child, storge. But it's an extremely strong bond. And those of you who have good parents, you can remember the sacrifices your parents made for you. And those of you who have been good parents, you realize the ones that you've made for your children. But do almost anything for the health and well-being of our children. It's always been that way. It was that way in the ministry of Jesus. In John chapter 4, I'm sure you all remember this story. You don't necessarily remember that it's in John chapter 4, but there was a royal official who walked 20 miles from Capernaum to Cana just to have he ask Jesus to come back with him to his home and heal his son. And Jesus just tells him to go home. Go home, your son's healed. So he got to walk 20 more miles back, and on the way, he's told, your son was healed. The fever left him. And he found out after asking, it was the same moment Jesus had said that very word to him. Matthew 15. It's also in Mark. The Syrophoenician woman. Everybody remembers that story because of the memorable exchange between Jesus and this Gentile woman. She wants to have a demon cast out of her daughter, but she's not Jewish. And Jesus says, you know, it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But this woman's willing to be called a dog to get her daughter healed. And she said that. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. And she's healed because of faith. Her daughter's demon is cast out. And then another one comes to mind. It's in all three of the synoptics. It's when Jesus, Peter, James, and John come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's this big commotion going on. The disciples are trying to cast a demon out of a young boy who's been brought there by his father, and they can't do it. And the father begs Jesus. He said, you know, when the demon comes on him, he froths at the mouth and throws himself into the fire. And Jesus heals the boy. And then our gospel reading for today. Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue at Capernaum. Now, one of the great things about Mark's gospel happens fast. You can read it in one setting, and generally the stories are connected by the word, and immediately. It's like you had the sense of Jesus running a relay race through Galilee. Yeah, everything's in a hurry. And so Mark uses economy of words in telling stories, and he generally doesn't give you people's names. We don't know the name of the woman in this story. We don't know the name of the Syrophoenician woman. He also shares that story. But we know the name Jairus. He's a ruler, a synagogue, a leader of the synagogue there at Capernaum. He's known. Who else lived in Capernaum? Anybody? A fisherman?
Peter.
Peter. Yes. Peter's house is there. You can go there if you want. He's not there. But his house is. There's a church built over the top of it, but they were really nice enough to put in a glass floor so that you can look down and you can see Peter's house. And that wasn't there when Peter lived there. There was no glass ceiling. Well, there probably was, but that's why the woman's name is not mentioned. But and that's as political as we're going to get today. But Jairus is known Jesus' headquarters is in Capernaum. There was a house church there. They met in Peter's house. Those, you know, people know who this man is. And occasionally when a name is dropped in a story, it's there for a reason. Somebody knows that guy, and so you put the name in. But I love Jairus, and I want you to just think about him for a moment. No doubt he had a tremendous sense of urgency that day. And he's filled with fear. He's worried about his daughter. And Jesus has always had his headquarters there in Capernaum. And if you're reading Mark's Gospel, Jesus is on his way back from the land of the Gerasenes, where he healed the demoniac with legion, go into the pigs, run into the a great story everybody knows. The pigs all run to their death in the water and drown. But Jesus is on his way back, and before he hits the land, there's a crowd gathered at the shore, Mark tells us. Who's the first person Jesus talks to? Jairus. He's been waiting there on the shore for Jesus to come. And I want you to think about things that you feel in moments like that when you're waiting. That sense of frustration, that sense of urgency, especially if you're waiting for something important. Jairus is my patron saint. As a father of five girls, and probably should be for any parent. About 20 years ago, I was serving at Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina, and we got a phone call at 11 at night. My daughter, Adrienne, who was at the University of Tennessee, was in a serious car accident. She was a passenger in the car. A Ford F-150 came flying through the intersection and hit the passenger door, T-boned the car. And she was in intensive care, and that was all the information I could get. But ordinarily, if you get a message like that, you run out, you jump in your car, and you drive off. I was in the Army. You can't jump in your car and drive off. There are certain procedures you have to go through in order to leave. You don't belong to yourself when you're in the Army. You are government property. And just like I have to sign out any piece of government property, I had to sign myself out. So I had to track down the officer in charge, who in turn had to track down my commanding officer. We all met at brigade headquarters, where they had pulled in a clerk to fill out paperwork for me to do an emergency leave. I have to sign all these things in triplicate and jump through hoops and bark and do all that stuff and smartly salute and leave. And that took about 2 hours to get all of that done. I was a wreck. Now, this is before the days of cell phones. You know, like, how's she doing now? You know, it couldn't do that. There were cell phones, and we actually had one that you couldn't use in a car because you were moving. And if you tried to use it at the house, you could use it in the kitchen if you stood near the window. It just was a hit or miss kind of thing. But for the 4-hour drive to the University of Tennessee Hospital in Knoxville, we could not talk to anybody. I had no idea what was going on. I just knew the details of the accident, and that there were broken bones and internal injuries. And when I got to the hospital, I couldn't see her. She was having a CAT scan done. And then they brought her back, and I can't see her now. Well, after we get her settled. And I'm out there, and I'm thinking, the next person that gets between me and my daughter is going to be in intensive care. Not because they work there. But if I had a frustration-o-meter in my heart, it was pegged out. And my fear-o-meter was pegged out. And I would do anything. Parents would move heaven and earth for their children. And I still didn't know what was wrong with her. And I imagine Jairus on the shoreline waiting for Jesus to come. Those same emotions. These are human beings. You know, people haven't changed. Wringing his hands, his anticipation, his fear. And then finally, Jesus comes. And Jairus explains the situation and the sense of urgency, and they take off toward his house. Just like that. And then, you see this group, they're moving, they're on the way. Jairus has got to be feeling pretty good about it. And then suddenly, Jesus just stops. Just stops. And he turns around and he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" And you could, a great reading, by the way, the incredulous tone in the disciples' voices. "You see all these people? Why would you ask that? Who touched you? Who touched me?" And so there's a delay. And usually when we read this part, we're thinking about the woman, but I want you to think about Jairus for a minute, standing there watching all this happen. Then they have to wait for someone to come forward and admit they did it. So the woman comes forward and she throws herself at Jesus' feet. And then Mark tells us she told Jesus the whole truth. The whole story. Which meant that she had to tell him that she'd been ill for 12 years, been going to the doctors, and hadn't gotten better. She'd only gotten worse. And, you know, Jairus probably has no fingernails left. Then they're waiting in this moment of anticipation. And then Jesus says to the woman, "Their faith has made you well." And he calls her daughter. That is the only place in Scripture where Jesus uses the word daughter. Daughter. And you can imagine Jairus thinking, "What about my daughter? That's where we were headed." And while Jesus is still talking to the woman, Jairus finds out that his daughter's died. "Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Don't bother him anymore." And then, in the midst of what had to be one of the worst moments in his life, Jesus turns to Jairus and says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And to his credit, Jairus continues the journey with Jesus to the house where he knows his dead daughter awaits them. Now, Jairus had some expectations. That's why he was there at the shoreline waiting for Jesus. That's why they're making the trip in the first place. And now she's died. But knowing that his heart is full of fear and anxiety and sadness, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Just keep on believing. Believe." Now, 3 weeks ago I preached a sermon when we looked at expectations. We talked about, I think I started with Great Expectations by Dickens. And those of you that weren't here, let me re-preach it real quick. It was the sense of Jesus' family, Mary and the boys, being thinking that Jesus might be a little out of his mind, and so they're going down to get him and take him home. And I think we said it's a bracketed story, where it begins with Jesus' family, it ends with Jesus' family, and in between you have the scribes coming up from Jerusalem saying, "Well, he's in league with Beelzebub." And you get sort of that Mark and sandwich, like today's lesson is also a bracketed story. You have Jairus, and in between the woman. I think Mark invented the sandwich. These people have expectations of Jesus. Jairus, because he's from Capernaum, he's the leader in the synagogue, he's heard Jesus preach. He's seen Jesus heal. He knows what Jesus can do. That's why he's at the shore waiting. That's why he wants Jesus to heal his daughter. And he fully expects it to happen. The woman who's coming after Jesus in the crowd, she's heard about him. And she believes, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And it happens, just as she expected it to. They all held these tremendous expectations. I want to go back to the hospital in Knoxville. When I got in to see Adrian, and sitting there holding her hand, and you know everybody's, she told me an interesting story. She didn't tell me anything about the accident. She was telling me about having the CAT scan done. She said, "Dad, I was laying there, and I was so scared." And I apologize if I get emotional, but she said, "I was laying there in great pain, and someone held my hand." And she said, "And I opened my eyes, and it was Jesus." Standing there, holding my hand. And she said, "Then I was okay. I was okay." Now, this incident occurred before I became what's known as a charismaniac. And so, but I was married to a charismatic. We'd been married about a year. And so we go back out to the waiting room. We were sitting there, and I said, "Do you suppose that she saw that because she's on medication?" And talk about incredulous looks. I got one. And Belinda asked me, she said, "What were you praying all the way here?" I said, "Well, I was praying that she'd be okay and that Jesus would be with her." And she said, "Were you praying with any sense of expectation?" And I thought about it. Well, I was probably thinking in some nebulous spiritual way, you know, that God would kind of be with her, keep her mindful of it. I don't know. And she said, "Well, we were praying." She said, "That's what we were praying together in the car." She said, "I was praying with expectation. And it was fulfilled." Jesus answered that prayer. And so I never told Adrian that I thought it was drug-induced. But I learned something valuable, very valuable, about life and about what we pray and what we expect. Jairus' daughter was healed. She was raised from the dead. Rise, little girl. And despite all the obstacles, despite everything, you know, that that Jairus was probably thinking during that interruption. His expectations were fulfilled. Maybe not exactly the way he thought. He was expecting Jesus to come and heal his daughter, not raise her from the dead. But nevertheless, what he wanted most, his little girl, was restored to him. And you know that if you read biblical commentaries for fun and profit, there are similarities. They'll say, "Oh, there, you know, all these things like the girl is 12 years old. How long was the woman sick? 12 years." And you're supposed to go like, "Ooh." Those go together well. But there was one thing that I noticed that I couldn't get past. The woman had an issue of bleeding. Could she go to worship? No. Could she go to the temple? No. She couldn't. She's unclean. She's unclean and touched Jesus. He should have been unclean. But the moment he touched her, all of that went away. The little girl is dead. The little girl is dead and she's unclean. You can't touch a dead body without going through purification.
Triple paperwork.
Yeah. You have to call your colonel, colonel has to come, show up at headquarters there in Capernaum. But Jesus goes in and touches a dead girl, picks up her hand, and restores her to life. What do you expect from Jesus? That was a question I kept asking myself over and over. What do I expect from Jesus? Here Jesus is willing to jump over all kinds of hurdles, break rules, in order to restore daughters. Does the same thing for sons. What do you expect of Jesus? Are you like that stupid chaplain in the car on the way to Tennessee praying for some kind of nebulous thing to happen? Yeah. And Lord, be with those, be with these people, be with those, bless them, bless those. Or are you expecting something specific? The reason I'm asking, and I'm asking myself too, is that the same Jesus in this story is here today. And Jesus knows our lives. I mean, he let the woman tell the story. Jesus knew the story. And yes, there were interruptions, but Jesus knew they were coming. Jesus knows your life. He knows where you're hurt. He knows where you're broken. For some, it's physical, as it was with the people in the story. For some, it's something emotional, mental, broken relationship. What is broken in your life? Whatever it is, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Have faith. And it's not because some nebulous good thing will happen. It's because specific things happen. Healing. Wholeness. Restoration. So I would like for us to take some time in the worship service. And I got permission filled out in triplicate before I... For us to have a time of praying for each other. For healing. For healing. The same Jesus who says, don't be afraid, to Jairus, is saying it to you. Whatever is broken in your life, whatever you want healed, Jesus is inviting you to come forward and touch the hem of His garment right now.